All right, it's on.
Did you hear him, Congressman?
I heard him say something. I couldn't make it out.
Oh, sorry. He said that we're on.
All right, then I'm going to go ahead and call this Government Operations Committee meeting to order. Date is July 27th, 2021. Time is 2:38 p.m. Next on the agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Present.
Second Speaker Rebard.
Here.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Keene. Congressman Big Horse. Chairman Walker.
Here, we have a quorum. Next on the agenda is prayer. Second Speaker Rebard, would you please say a prayer for us?
Yes, thank you, Congressman Walker, appreciate it. Everybody would bow your heads. Just want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity, Lord, to speak to you again this day. Thank you for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon our nation, Father God. I ask for guidance and that we open up our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear your word, Father God. I ask for blessings for all of our Osage people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you. Next is approval of minutes. Please review the minutes from yesterday.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented for July 26th.
Second, this is Rebard.
Motion to approve the minutes with a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Yes, any opposed? Say no. Okay, minutes are approved. Curious, Caitlin, who all do we have on the call? Mind?
Congresswoman Stabler, Congresswoman Shaw, Jan Heyman, Selena Noir, Shanna, James Wygant, Alicia Hutchins, Casey Johnson, William Fenton, Jeannie Herron, Congressman Maker, Tara Manthe, sorry if I mispronounced that, Congressman Tillman, Teresa Lampson, Congresswoman Goodfox, Shannon Shaw, Speaker Pratt, Second Speaker Rebard, and yourself.
Great, thank you. Let's move into the legislation. Agenda item 5 is ONCA 2161. An act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $25,251,153 to the executive branch of American Rescue Plan Act funds for the continuation and completion of coronavirus aid, relief, and economic security act project and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Goodfox. Congresswoman, how would you like to proceed?
I believe yesterday there were questions that were asked of executive regarding everything that this appropriation would take care of, so to speak. I haven't seen anything in our emails, and I don't even know if it was Second Speaker Rebard or maybe Congresswoman Stabler who had asked for some things. So I would say, look, can we move that down and move that down to the bottom of the agenda and not hear it and hear the next one?
We can. It's your bill.
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you.
Any objection to that, committee? All right. Well, without objection, we will move on to agenda item 6, which is ONCA 2163, an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $2,500,000 to the Executive Branch of American Rescue Plan Act funds for the purchase of land, design, engineering, and construction of a grocery store in the city of Hominy, Oklahoma, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Maker. Congressman Maker, take it away.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, this bill 2163 is a proposal to establish a grocery store in the city of Hominy, Oklahoma, which is one of our three districts where we have our ceremonial tribal dances in June. We also have, I think in the support documents, the number of Osage tribal members in Hominy is 540 tribal members, and which a lot of those are elders. And living in a town, the population of Hominy is also around, I think the last census was 3,400 people. And 540 of those are tribal members. And we just had our dances in June, and we had over 1,000 people coming into the city of Hominy and then our Indian village down there in Hominy. Our Zonzoli people hosted our dances, and we had our sisters and brothers from Gray Horse and Pawhuska. They all came down and camped, as we all know, as our tradition and what we do in June. And being a town this size without a grocery store really puts a lot of difficulties on our guests and all the people that come here in June to camp and have fellowship with all of our tribal members. And we all know that our Pawhuska, Oaxacan people, and the Gray Horse, Basoli people, they all had to move their camps here, and they had to haul all their food and with them because there's no store here to buy things, even last minute items that they might need for their camps. So, and it also puts a hardship having a town this size. We also have a gaming facility here. There's a correctional facility here in this town. Recently, we just had the meat processing plant built here. And so there's a lot of reasons why the city of Hominy needs a grocery store. And I think right now is a great time to help the city establish a grocery store, which a town the size without a store is considered a food desert. I'm sure everybody's heard that term before. And since we have our harvest farms in Pawhuska, which is going to grow and get bigger and bigger, which could supply produce for a store in Hominy. And we have the meat processing plant, which is perfect. We can sell our products from there. I know they're selling them there out there at the meat processing plant now, but having a store right here in town, they could easily be accessible and have those products here for sale at our grocery store. Now, I know there's a lot of questions about how this store would be operated, and that can be a lot of debate about that. I would suggest that to be a small this proposal is designed to be a small, what you might call a mom-and-pop grocery store, which would be similar to like maybe those Brahms convenience stores. They're small and they have a lot of things in those stores. But the location for this the site in Homley would be the old Marvin store that closed. It's been up on the market. I think in the beginning they were asking close to $1 million for that property. Now it's gone down to about $500,000 in that area. I've talked to the city manager of Homley about the utilities, the costs of that store. And well, that store was a pretty good sized store. It was a full store with a lot of freezers, coolers, areas for produce. And I would propose a smaller version of that. The utilities for the old Marvin store, when it was going full blast, was about $5,000 a month utilities. That's for all the freezers, you know, for your ice cream and all your frozen goods. And of course, you have your coolers for all the other things that need to be cooled. So that would also be probably the store that I propose would probably cut that expense in half. And also, I think in your support documents, I have worked with our budget analyst, Mr. Fraser, and we looked at all the documentation that went with the Fairfax Palace of the Osage store, and I wanted to use that sort of as a model to help get this Homley store going. Of course, the store in Homley would be a smaller version of the palace. But I would suggest two full-time cashiers, one full-time stocker / custodian, and a manager. And there's a part of that would be gone for the equipment and miscellaneous shopping carts, things like that. But I think this is actually a need for our Osage citizens, tribal members of Homley. It's just one of the basic necessities of life. What we all learned in school was food, clothing, and shelter. So being a food desert was qualified for one of those needs. And so it makes a hardship on the elders. They have to go out of town to do their main grocery shopping. And a lot of those people, the elders, have to have a relative or grandchildren to drive them on their shopping days to the store. So as well as all the citizens of Homley, which I said in the beginning, there's the population is 3,400 people. And so I just propose this to the Congress, and I do think it's much needed for our tribal members in the town of Homley. So I've open to your questions now.
All right, well, thank you for that presentation, Congressman. And just curious, in no way poking holes at this, I was just curious, it seems to me like, and it's been a while, Doesn't the population of Hominy include the prison? Does anyone know that?
The census, yes. This is Alice. Yes, the census does include the prisoners.
And they're about how much? I want to say, dude, I don't even remember.
It's less than 2,000, and I want to say about 1,500.
Okay, I wanted to say 1,200, but that's been so long ago. Again, I was just curious. And Congressman Maker, I always appreciate demographics. It's some of my favorite information. Committee, questions for Congressman Maker? Comments?
Chair, this is Reed Vard.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Hey, Congressman Maker, I was wondering, do you know, because I can't remember, why the grocery store shut down in Hominy? Do you know what the reason was? I can't remember.
Well, from what I've heard, just the people who owned the store decided that there wasn't enough business there, and for whatever reason, I don't know. I do know I did hear some complaints about the management there, and which probably caused some of the patrons to go elsewhere for groceries. I think there was a complaint about the produce was it only last one day after you got it home. It was only good for one day, and then there was questions about some of the meat products weren't fresh. So, but for whatever reason, the people, the owners of the Marvins, decided to close.
Follow up? Anyone else?
Thank you. No, thank you, Congressman Maker.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. I just want to make sure we have some factual stuff. If the Congress will recall, and I don't know how many were on here when this happened, but you know, the Palace over in Fairfax was defunct. The Nation owned the building, and we were approached by a gentleman out of Tonkawa from Venture Foods, and you know, asked us, you know, hey, could you lease this building to me? And I'll bring a grocery store over to here. So the Nation only owns the building in Fairfax. All the business, everything else is run by a private entity. So it's a lease issue. If the Nation were to purchase a grocery store and run it and everything like that, it would end up having to be under an LLC. That's the first thing. The second thing is James and I and others have discussed this project, and we're hard pressed to figure out if it's, we can't see where it's going to be an appropriate use for the ARPA funds, if it's an allowable use. With the meat processing plant and things like that, we're not allowed to make a profit. And we discussed this at length back in, good God, I think the spring session. I don't remember now. We're not allowed to make a profit for at least 2 years until we're audited. So any of the money from the meat processing plant has to go back into the meat processing plant, which is not a big deal to me. I mean, I think that's where it needs to go anyway. But we're just not seeing how this is an allowable expense according to the final interim rules. And James can speak more to that.
Okay, before I turn the floor over to James, Congressman Maker, do you have a comment regarding Mr. Johnson's statement, or are you ready to hear from Mr. Wygant?
Well, I would just say that I would assume that having a community that is considered a food desert is in dire need of rescue help from the government. I think in the past, the reason why the nation has not acted to help the situation in Hominy was because there was never enough money. That was one of the reasons, for it's a good reason or not. But I would say that the pandemic has definitely made the situation worse and for the citizens of Hominy and the tribal members, because it kept people away from trying to come in to open up a store. So, I mean, you can look at every pro and con that you want or just dream up any kind of reason that you can think of why you wouldn't want to help this community or why you would want to help the community.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. No, you know, no one's saying this, a grocery store in Hominy isn't needed. No one has ever said that. I totally agree with the premise. I don't like my mom having to travel, you know, anywhere to get groceries, and I'm sure others don't either. The issue here is, and again, James can speak more to this. The biggest problem is these monies are supposed to be towards a COVID response. Now, with the processing plant and the harvest land, it was because the supply chain broke down and we couldn't get anything in here. The grocery store was out of business before the pandemic ever hit. So this isn't a reaction to a grocery store being closed because of the pandemic. So you see our conundrum here, this is something that happened not related to the pandemic. And again, I'm pretty sure I can speak for the administration. We agree that somehow, some way, we should have a grocery store in Hominy for those folks. And I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I don't see how we can do it with this money. And again, James can speak in more detail.
James, you want to jump in here?
Sure. And what Casey said is what I was bringing up is that, you know, everything is supposed to be a COVID caused reaction, and the Food Saver did not go out of business due to COVID. I think the Walmart being 10 minutes away is probably a big factor in that. We do recognize that it is a food desert, and we need to have a strong supply chain that's insulated from COVID. And we're doing that with the plant and the farm. There is a plan to eventually get mobile grocery stores to go around and deliver and set up in these food deserts. It's a food desert in Bowring. It's a food desert in McCord. It's a food desert in a lot of other places in the county. I think it would be a challenge. I don't think it's impossible, but it would be a challenge to argue this as an allowable expense. I do worry about sustainability, and this would have to be a nonprofit, and how is that going to work, especially given that we're trying to get a mobile grocery store that could go around to these different communities and provide this service and have that true farm to table supply chain. you know, we tried this in Fairfax for us to run it. It didn't work out. And there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered as to what is actually being proposed with this building and you know, how would it operate? Thank you.
Chair Walker.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, who was that? I'm sorry.
Congressman Tillman.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd just like to comment and applaud Congressman Maker's piece of legislation. I really feel his heart is in the right place. This is a very noble piece of legislation. He wants to serve the people in the community of Hominy. And we always talk about, you know, people moving back to Osage County, people moving back to your communities, and don't know for sure, but it would make me really think long and hard if I was to move back to Hominy, build a home in Hominy, or and they don't have a grocery store. It is cumbersome. I'm glad I don't have to drive 10 minutes, 15 minutes to a grocery store. I live here in Pawhuska, so I know there's opportunity in that market. Whether this appropriation amount comes maybe later, possibly from tribal funds down the line, but I think he's at least started the conversation. He started something that I hope, you know, we can keep in front of us, because, you know, just my opinion, it is to serve our Osage constituents, and there are over 500 Hominy residents that live there. It can be done. Good consultation with, I know, I think it's the Fire Lake grocery store, the Citizens Potawatomi owns. I think it's the largest Native American-owned grocery store in the United States, but there's a lot of resources out there we could utilize to help to do it the best, most efficient way. But I think it is needed as well. Whether or not we can do this with ARPA funds, I'm not clear on that. But I do just wanted to make the comment and applaud Congressman Maker's efforts. His heart is in the right place. So that's all I had at this time. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Congressman. I agree with basically everything you said there. Anyone else?
Chair.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you very much. Well, listen, I have lived in a town that doesn't have a grocery store, so it certainly is difficult at best, and especially, you know, when you have to drive 30 minutes to the next town. So I understand the need, but I just have a quick question. I'm a bit confused on the support docs. Is this because you mentioned the Marvin's grocery store purchasing that, but also the fact that it, you know, may be the size of, for example, Brahms grocery store. So I'm confused as to what the $2.5 million budget is for.
Congressman Maker, do you care to speak to that?
Well, yes, I can agree with just about a lot of things that everyone has to say here, but I will also like to say in response to Mr. Johnson, Mr. Weigert, that there is a lot of questionable items that I've seen come through here for these rescue funds that I would say is questionable if they're compliant. But being a food desert, for is definitely got to be in there somewhere.
Right. And that kind of takes us back, you know, to a conversation that was somewhat lengthy, but it had merit earlier in, I think, culture about whether or not these appropriation bills or these projects are ARPA compliant. And I don't think any of us have done our job if we can't point to a page somewhere in the guidelines and say, this is why, and have somewhat of a legal opinion. You know, I considered, it was considering yesterday, you know, the possibility of putting some sort of contingency clause in these bills, that can get somewhat cumbersome and problematic, discretionary. You know, you can ask one attorney one thing and another attorney the same thing, and they give you two different answers. I mean, how in the world does our Supreme Court have all of these 5-4 rulings and always have? That's just, there's something wrong there.
Chair, this is Alice.
Go ahead.
I think, okay, so what I heard Congresswoman Shaw ask, it's a good question. And I didn't hear a response. And correct me if I'm wrong, Congresswoman Shaw, what your question was, you are hearing about the old Marvins and a $500,000 price tag, but you are curious what the $2,500,000 appropriation is too, when the title says funds for the purchase of land design, engineering, and construction of a grocery store in the city of Hominy. So are you asking the sponsor if his intent is to purchase the existing grocery store that's already in Hominy, or if he is going to purchase land and construct a grocery store? Was that your question? Because I think there are a lot of questions about that. So I just wanted to see if Congressman Maker would respond to that, or is, you know, can let us know what he foresees the $2,500,000 going for. Is it to buy the old Marvins, or is it to purchase land and construct a new store? That's my question.
Chairman?
Congressman Maker.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for clarifying that question, Congresswoman Goodfoss, because I wasn't, my audio wasn't really clear on, I didn't hear all the details or points of Congresswoman Shaw's question, but as we all know, I mean, we've become the tribe of construction projects. We all know how much it costs to build a building from dirt to the finish, from foundation footings to a finish for a brand new building is very expensive. When there's an existing building there, which would be a lot cheaper to purchase a building than to build one from scratch, especially now with all the high construction costs. Like I say, we've got a lot of construction going on in the Osage Nation. And that building is a pretty good sized building. We wouldn't even have to use the whole building. We could partition it off and just use the what we needed. The old one had like a deli, and they sold lunch foods and all kinds of chicken and like a deli food thing. But what I would propose is just a smaller version, like I'm saying, just a neighborhood mom and pop grocery store. That's really what I was really proposing here. I know on the legislation, when I had Mr. Gill work on this. I know that's the usual wordage that's on just about all these bills that to do with buildings and construction. And but it does say purchase, and so I thought that would cover the like the purchase of an existing property building, an old store. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
All right, committee. Any more questions, comments, concerns?
Sir, this is Rebard. So I want to know from whomever, yes or no, is this allowable using the ARPA funds?
Chair, I guess.
Is that James?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, purchasing the building and starting a commercial operation would not be an allowable expenditure under CARES. If we were going to purchase the building and strictly provide produce from harvest land and meat from the packing plant and provide that as part of the link in our supply chain that we've built, I think we could make that argument. Buying a building and filling it full of all of the other foods and services and things like that, I think would be a difficult stretch to get to. I know, especially knowing that we have a plan to provide remote grocery stores to provide those groceries produced by ourselves at these remote locations. I think it really depends on what is proposed, whether or not it would be an allowable use. And if it's, like I said, if they're just wanting to start a business using ARPA money, that would not be allowable.
Chair, may I respond?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. So if, and this is something that we went through back in the day when we purchased the grocery store in Fairfax, which we had to close down. The question was, is this a service or is it for business? So it sounds like if it's for business, we cannot do that using ARPA funds. But if we were to provide a service, the grocery store to Hominy, would it be allowable?
Yes, as a link in the supply chain, I think we could. But then there's also the issue of sustainability and how are we going to keep this going, and the needs and elsewhere in the county for grocery stores.
Mr. Chair.
Casey, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can I have Jan jump in here and talk about our plan for mobile grocery stores? And she could, I mean, she can explain it way better than James or I can. So, Jan, if you would explain who you've been talking to and the things that you've discussed with me, I think that might help out.
Yes. Thank you for letting me be part of the conversation. I've been working with a group in Tulsa that has a mobile grocery store. So we've been meeting with them to view their existing unit. And we've been talking to them about the pros and cons, what works, what doesn't work. I mean, kind of through all the logistics of their program. And they're helping us put together a plan based on their experience to be able to special order a mobile grocery store that we can use to take throughout Osage County. And so our plan with that is to include produce from the harvest land, meat products from the butcher house, as well as other items that they might need that they that rural areas may not have access to, whatever that might be. So we're definitely working on that. That's been something we've been working on since we received the initial CARES funds, because it was important for us to not only have the systems in place on the ground through the harvest land and the meat facility, but to also get these products to the people that, like Congressman Maker is concerned about at Hominy and everybody else as well, communities that don't have access to products like this. So that is something we are actively working on. We just were waiting on the on these funds to get approved for DNR so we can move forward with that. But that is an important priority for the executive branch and for our office.
All right. Yeah, thank you. I've heard a little bit about that mobile grocery store, if you will. Sounds like a really good idea to me. I look forward to having more discussion regarding that. Committee? Still on Congressman Maker's bill. Wanting to have more discussion? Anyone have any comments or additional concerns?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to say something.
Okay, you have the floor.
If this legislation is ruled to be non-compliant, I would at this time just withdraw this bill.
Chair, this is the clerk.
I'll be recognized second.
This will need to go to the floor and withdrawn on the floor, not in committee.
That's what I was going to say.
Chair.
Congresswoman Shaw.
I know that Attorney Gill is not on the line, but is that something that he may be able to help us with? As far as whether it is or is not allowed, because I think that's the biggest question. It's not, I don't know that anyone would be opposed to helping the Hominy community like this, but that's certainly the biggest question to me. Thank you.
Just a suggestion. I'm not sure how much more discussion is necessary or warranted. No diminishment of the idea or the need down there. I'm just, as chair, trying to move this meeting along, and I'm realizing special session law does require us to vote on all legislation, or it can be withdrawn on the floor by the sponsor. Perhaps a motion to send out with no recommendation. In the meantime, we can get more information, and it can be parked alongside the other bills that have made it out of committee.
I make a motion to report ONCA 2163 to Congress with no recommendation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay. ONCA 2163 is advanced to Congress with no recommendation. This to agenda item 7, which is ONCA 2170. an act to authorize and appropriate in the amount of $130,000 from the American Rescue Plan Act funds to update the Osage News website and produce an Osage News app and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Rebard. How would you like to proceed?
Thank you, Chair. So on this bill, before we get started, I've invited the Shannon Shaw, who operates Osage News, and I believe she's invited some of her board. I can't see whether they're here or not. I've also sent out the support docs to Congress and the committee, and that includes a budget, a summary, and some information. She's also has asked that this go into executive session because of some confidential matters, and I would like to entertain we go into executive session.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to go into executive session. Just curious, did we kind of open up the discussion, or is there any discussion that we could have before going into executive session? That's more of a question for any of the board members, Shannon, or even the sponsor.
There, this is Rebard. I think a piece of the support docs, particularly the budget with the professional fees, is what we'd be discussing. And I don't mind coming up executive session and then talking about the whole concept of what it is she's what they're planning on doing. So I don't know, Shannon, do you want to reply, or however you guys want to do it? We can do it. You can present now, or we can wait, but we do have a motion.
We can present now, and then we can go into executive session if the committee needs more detail on the proposed companies that we intend on working with.
Okay, Chair, I'll withdraw my motion at this time and offer it after they're done. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Second speaker, Rebard, you have some opening comments, or do you want to turn the floor over to Ms. Manthe or Shannon Shaw Duty?
I would like to turn it over to Shannon Shaw Duty at this time. Thank you.
All right.
Hi. Okay, so I sent you our Osage News ARPA funding request that we also sent to the task force. It was sent to James Wygant. We are in need for, and I'm very mindful that our request has to be in line with the ARPA interim final rule and has to be used for COVID relief, et cetera. So in my ARPA proposal, I did outline that according to Section A of the ARPA Interim Final Rule, page 10, under eligible uses for public health and economic impacts, the Osage News is in need of a new website, a mobile app, and increased bandwidth for that new website. Maybe you are aware, or if you don't follow the Osage News online, during 2020, during the main pandemic last year, I feel like we were essential workers. So we continued to report on the status of COVID-19 and how it was affecting our community in terms of numbers. We covered personal stories of our healthcare workers, et cetera. I feel like the Osage News is a trusted source for news about what the nation is doing. And in terms of crisis, when a crisis happens, I feel like people turn to the Osage News to know what the nation is doing in terms of news coverage. During that time, our website was handling increased bandwidth, meaning, if you guys aren't familiar with the term, a lot of people were coming to our website that our website wasn't able to handle. So if you think of it in like cell phone coverage plans or a TV coverage plan or a package, you know, we had the cheapest package for bandwidth, and we need to upgrade to a more expensive package to survive the increased traffic that our website is having. So what was happening is that our website was basically just shutting down because we did not have the bandwidth needed. Our website is not geared for a COVID response. So what we would do with a new website is that we would make health a featured portal, featured alert system, something on the front, on the homepage of the website to help the Osage community with knowing what is going on with the Wajashi Health Center or what are the COVID numbers in the community, et cetera, because we don't feel like the pandemic is over. So same principle with the, or the same premise with a mobile app. We have been in need of a mobile app for quite some time. I feel like we could give COVID alerts through the app. We could give different alerts that, like different events that the Osage Nation is having, et cetera, or the Wajashi Health Center is having, just a better way to keep up with the community. So that is just a very broad overview of what we would like to do with the new website. I can go into the cost for these websites because the Osage News website has been around for a while. It's actually kind of old. So we have over 7,000 pages of content, and all of that content that's on those 7,000 pages has to be moved to the new website. That's a very expensive process. And I feel that our website is a widely used archive of the Osage Nation's new government history. Many people doing research on the nation, I know lawmakers sometimes as well, our lawmakers, the community, they go to our website because we have covered the nation consistently since 2006, 2007. So there's a lot of history on our website. So our website is also an archive. All of our newspapers that we've produced, you know, those are PDF'd and they're searchable and you can download them from our website. And all of that takes space on your website. So it's not an expensive process to create this new website for us, especially one that's also mobile friendly, because we want to create that email newsletter. We want people to sign on to the website. We want to do all of those things, and all of that would be generated through our website. So we do have a lot of really exciting, you know, great plans for how we want to move into the future with our website, but we can't do that without funding. But this really is kind of a godsend, in my opinion, that this money given to the nation from the federal government to help our tribal members in COVID response. I think that we fall in line with that mission. So that's, and if you guys have additional questions about anything else, you know, I'm available. I can answer your questions. But if we do have an executive session, I can go into more detail about what these companies are proposing. What certain, because we haven't selected a company yet because we're waiting to see if we are granted this ARPA funding. So this funding, you know, is critical for our operations moving forward and how we will present to you all in the upcoming budget session as well.
All right. Committee or anyone participating have any questions or comments?
Chair,
Chair, this is Rivard. I have a quick question for Shannon.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I'm curious, so what do you think the cost to keep this up will be in the future to maintain your app and website? Do you have any idea at this point?
Well, from one of the proposals that we received, the yearly cost of maintaining the website and keeping up to date along with an app and mobile application would be around $5,000 a year. That's just one company, though. There are other companies. And for whatever amount we are granted, I'm sure we could work with the company on, you know, how much things cost and what their services would provide.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I guess my question would be for James or any of the other COVID task force members. Have you guys made a determination on whether or not you believe this to be an allowable appropriation or expense?
This is James. You know, we did the same thing with the Osage Nation website. Due to COVID, you know, everything is working remotely, and access to services and access to information is that much more important to be done remotely and on a phone, especially. And the fact that the Osage News website is not mobile friendly, and that people rely on this website for information, local information about COVID, and the fact that it's been crashing, the last thing you want to do is to go get valuable information and find that the website's down. So we do not have any reservations about the allowability of this proposal.
All right, thank you. Committee?
Chair.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Motion to report 2172 Congress with a do pass recommendation.
Second, this is Rivard.
We have a motion and a second to report ONCA 2170 to Congress with a do pass recommendation. For any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Heard one yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. All right. My vote is yes as well. Motion passes. Congresswoman Goodfox, are you prepared to go back to ONCA 2161?
Sure. Second Speaker Rivard, were you the one that had questions yesterday that got that were deferred to executive?
No, ma'am, that was not me.
Is there anyone on the committee that can recall who had questions for executive? Okay, well,
that was
All right, we're at the time. Who wants to be recognized?
Chair, this is Stabler.
Congresswoman Stabler.
That was me yesterday. I just asked for a description of those items that were listed at the bottom of that budget, just for a description of what those might entail with the continuation of CARES Act projects. And we haven't received anything. I believe Mr. Johnson said he would bring something.
Hey, Congresswoman Stabler, I did manage to hear that, but it was kind of difficult. Did I hear you at the very end say, or ask Mr. Johnson?
I think
think Mr. Johnson said yesterday that he would bring some information.
Right. We have had a lot of back and forth. We've considered a lot of bills, a lot of money. I do remember Casey saying to one request, and it may or may not have been this one, that he would do his best. Was this that? Casey, do you care to comment?
I understood, and I'm sorry if I misunderstood, that I was to get information by tomorrow, Wednesday. I mean, that's... And if this is for Congresswoman Goodfox's bill, I want to say, I believe, and James can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think James sent all of the continuation of CARES Act projects to the Congress. I may be wrong on that. I know we have that. We have that list. I'm looking for it now and my stuff. But I thought it was for tomorrow. So if I'm wrong about that, I apologize.
Chair?
Yes, I'm sorry, James. I have the list. So, and it was sent as part of the, it's an Excel spreadsheet sent as part of the supporting documents.
I think the big question was with the packing plant and the farm and what Jan wanted to do with equipment and moving forward with that element. We really didn't get into the IT part or the language and culture or emergency management or improvements at the ranch. I think the big focus of that discussion yesterday was with the food security issues. I know Jan was working on that. Jan, do you have an update on those two items?
This is Jan. Yes, we are working on a list. I'm working with the plant manager at the meat facility and the supervisor at the farm to get that compiled.
Chair, this is Rebard.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And this is something I had talked briefly about to the sponsor and some of the other Congress members, but I was looking at the legislation, the way it was filed, and to me, these are programs that we're talking about here. So we have the meat processing plant, and then the harvest land, and emergency management. The ranch, that's a board. We've got language and culture in the museum, and then we've got IT. And IT, of course, we know is a recovery program, IDC, but I'm not trying to, and you guys may not agree with me, and that's fine, but this is the way I was wondering if we could see it. I'd like to see individual budgets on these and how these are broken down, not just on the harvest land, but I'd like to see when we say emergency management, what does the 251, 153 consist of with the line item breakdown? Same thing with the packing plant. What do these look like? Right now I see they're non-admin expenses, but typically when we look at our programs, we have a breakdown. Is that salaries? Is that professional fees? Is it supplies? Is it other? And I'd feel more comfortable with this bill. And I'm not trying to hold it up. I'm just saying that I feel more comfortable with the actual budget related to each of these. And kind of concerns, and I apologize, I just started really looking at this in depth last night, with the ranch being in here and why they wouldn't have a separate bill like we're doing with the Osage LLC since they're a board. And I don't know how you guys feel. And I know Congresswoman Lemon had made some comments yesterday, and I listened to her about how we do things different all the time. And I'm flexible, but when it comes to this kind of stuff, I like consistency. Those are my comments at this time. Thank you.
All right, anyone else? I would just say that that's a pretty big ticket item, and I feel like we are duty-bound to spend some time talking about it and going through the numbers to some extent, at least. There's been a lot of appropriation bills make it out already. I'm just a little bit, you know, concerned about, I guess, over appropriating, and this represents almost a quarter of what is available right now. Scheduling a meeting for Thursday right now, guys, gals.
Chair, this is Alice. I'll make a motion to postpone ONCA 2161 to the call of the chair.
I'll second. This is Rebar.
Motion and a second to postpone. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor said yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Bill is
motion
postponed.
To adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second, Rebar.
With the second, any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Yes, we are adjourned. Your committee report, please.